This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:37. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Charmila and Lynn. And now, on Today on Twitter, the ongoing conversation about our reliance on cars in Malaysia.
So this comes by way of a tweet from Rashida Kamaluddin, who said, "I hate the fact that having a car is a necessity in Malaysia to the point that we need to be in debt to own one and our wage is too low to comfortably sustain it and that we lack alternatives. The fact that we could have revolutionized our transport system, but there is a lack of political willpower." And this is not the first time that something like this has come up, but I appreciate the frankness of the tweet because it is just straight up, I hate it. I hate having to maintain my car. And I think we've been having these conversations in a variety of ways, and also it sits at the nexus of a variety of different issues, whether it's public transport, whether it's our existing infrastructure being car-focused, you know, all these different things are a part of the conversation.
Yes, and so I think little surprise that many people actually express their agreement with her, pointing out, well, for one, the inefficiencies of the local public transport system. Others instead pointed out the this aspiration mentality, right? The problematic attitude that cars are a must-have, a social indicator of success. So there are a number of issues to unpack. And before we get to the tweets, I wanted to ask you, Lynn, have you ever thought that you could give up your car?
I think about it quite a lot. And I think about this from the perspective of actually somebody who really enjoys my car. I've been driving it for a very long time. I have a huge emotional attachment to it, just aside from the convenience. But even so, there are times when especially when I travel, I think, when I am without a car, where I think this would be nice if I could maintain this, you know, this would be a nice thing to do. I would be at work at the same time every day. I would know that I would be home at the same time every day if I wanted to. And the knowledge that I wouldn't be contributing to the whole industry around the cars is nice. I, however, cannot do it. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I really don't think I could.
I think I could do it now a little bit more easily because of ride hailing, but I don't think that's the be all and end all of everything, right? The reality is that all of the times in my life that I've lived without a car, and that's not in Malaysia, have been in cities that had great public transport system, very safe public spaces, walkways, all of those things that you talk about. And I mean, I know that it is a little bit atas to only talk about cars, but even if you're talking about a personal vehicle to be able to get around, you know, most of our places, and in fact, I think Klang Valley is actually a little bit better than other parts of the country, because in other places, you absolutely need a vehicle to be able to get around. Now, if we look at the tweets, for instance, JB, in fact, says exactly that. So they say, in Sabah, it's even worse. You must have a car. The road from Tuaran to KK gets more challenging with all the Pan-Borneo highway construction.
In fact, in places like Sabah and Sarawak and also in some of the other states, not only do you need a car, you need a four-wheeler. And I think that that is an additional element, right, that we're not talking about. At the moment, we're just talking about cars as if they're all made equal. But depending on the road and how much off-roading that you by necessity will have to do, depending on what you do for a job and how much transporting of items and how much space you need in the boot, for instance, there are some instances where specific cars, in fact, are needed and the costs go up even more. And this example from Sabah is a good one. Meanwhile, we also have Vince, who says, as a public transport enthusiast, I actually feel very exhausted from the convoluted routes and longer travel times. I sanitize every time I get home. By the time I reach my desk, I fall asleep. Our transport system needs to transition to frequency-based rather than coverage-based.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to talk about going car-free without talking about efficient, usable, user-friendly public transportation, right? And that example really covers all the ways in which we still have a ways to go before we can. Haspi, meanwhile, brings up a very important point. They say, car culture is a big part of the reason why our built environment and infrastructure is extremely OKU hostile. And also one of the reasons why we're very resistant to making our society more OKU accessible.
Yeah, I So the focus on cars, actually, again, is something that has come up quite a bit. And we see this in our development in a variety of ways, even in the endless amount of multi-level highways that we see built when we might perhaps want better train coverage or we might perhaps want better frequency, as was pointed out earlier. And it's about, what is it that they say? Where you water, that's what grows, you know, that whole notion of it, right? It's where we are giving the most focus. And we still, because we have fostered a car requiring system, we are continuing to feed that hunger without necessarily thinking about other things. Meanwhile, Sakura says, can we be like Japan and Korea? As far as I can see, the malls in Japan are full of bicycles instead of cars and motorcycles. Can we be like them so that I can ride my bicycle safely and soundly without people judging? It's healthy as well. That is a dream. I do think that here we have to consider the weather is all.
Husnina just says, my friend and I agree that a car comes first before a life partner.
Ah, so this is something that's come up quite a bit in terms of that necessity, but also what it, I guess what it says about you if you manage to own a car. For example, Huda says, the common general mentality and society's indicator to success is that if you're employed and you've bought your first car, you're successful. I guess both the infrastructure and education and awareness will go hand in hand.
Keep those thoughts coming. We are talking about essentially a tweet that says a car is a requirement in Malaysia. Do you agree? Do you wish you could easily get around without a car? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:50. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about a number of different things. So early on today on Twitter, we discussed Malaysia's over-reliance on cars. This comes on the wake of a viral tweet talking about that issue. And so we've been asking you whether you wish you could easily get around without a car here. Share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's start with some messages on cars.
Seaman says, I sometimes enjoy being alone in my car to and from work so I can enjoy listening to BFM in peace without worrying about physical distancing on public transport. Seaman's, aside from the BFM plug, I wanted to read that one because I identify with that a lot. My drive is actually very important for me, particularly on the way home where I get to decompress. And I realize that in the weeks that I work from home, it's actually quite difficult to find a substitute for that period in which you're just alone. I think that for people who take pleasure in driving, there is something quite therapeutic about putting something on, having your own time and just having, you know, a quiet space.
That point about physical distancing, right? I actually, in the last 2 years, I've come to realize there's no other way of putting it, really. What a privilege it is, actually, to own my own car, which allows me to be sheltered from the challenges of having to venture out in public transport or having to take a shared ride with others. Drives home that, you know, these are some of the things that we have that a lot of others don't. And I think that's always something worth keeping in mind. An anonymous listener says, I think a car is a necessity. It provides so much flexibility. It allows me to manage my time better. And it's way cheaper than taking a ride-hailing service.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely a lot to that. I mean, they also added on saying, I'm from KL, but I work in JB. And I felt so handicapped once when I traveled back by bus, leaving me carless in KL. And therein lies that point about reliance, right? This idea of us being completely reliant on our car. Again, I recognize that this is a tremendous privilege. I find it difficult to navigate the bus system in our country. And that's partly because I don't have practice with it and I'm less familiar with it. Whereas the trains, that it's a little more, and this is actually a problem I have everywhere. I'm not great at buses anywhere in the world. And because of that, I'm so appreciative of exactly this level of control that having a car gives me that trains, I think, replicate a little closer.
I used to be so much better at it even up to my university days. And then past that, yeah, I've completely lost touch with being able to figure out the bus routes. We have Adeline saying, some companies in the UK actually provide incentives for employees who take public transport to work.
So I'm curious as to what would work in Malaysia. What kind of incentives would you need to accommodate, depending on where you stay and how convenient the route is, the time and the public, sorry, and the distancing that we're talking about, right? What kind of incentive would actually manage to manage that part? The fact that rather than a 20-minute drive, I'm incentivized to take a 45-minute a 45-minute route to work.
And all of that backed by the fact that, first of all, there needs to be that kind of system in place, right? There's no point in offering incentives that people can't use. Madiha says, the idea of a 20-minute neighborhood where basic necessities are within walking or biking distance is actually an achievable goal if there's buy-in from developers and the government. Wishing for organic growth of urban areas that facilitate access and travel without necessarily depending on cars for mobility. Instead, we live in residential areas which are built on the site of retention ponds, thereby uniting both our stories this hour.
Man, a 20-minute neighborhood sounds great. And I think that at the moment, what we have are more like 45-minute townships. I'm thinking of Subang, right? Which technically has all these things. It has the necessities. It's got a number of... It's pretty self-contained and self-sustaining. But you can't argue that it's a 20-minute neighborhood or 20-minute town. You know, getting from place to place, really, especially if you include parking, is going to accommodate all that different measures of time. And so, yeah, this idea of a 20-minute neighborhood is, ooh, the dream.
Well, on that note about retention ponds, I think we can move back to looking at messages that have come through for that. But if you have thoughts on driving less, is that something that you'd like to see happen? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.